Welcome back to the pod, guys. So we're calling this the Lost Pod because it literally disappeared and I couldn't edit it for whatever reason until we recorded another podcast earlier tonight, a month later. We haven't recorded a pod in a month. I just moved into a new place. I was streaming some shitty Wi-Fi. Those bad signal when we recorded this episode about a month ago, in the beginning of May. It was right after the Miami Grand Prix. Round one of the NBA Finals just wrapped up, and then we're going to like game one, game two, and round two. Or not NBA Finals, NBA playoffs. We're going to game two for round two in the NHL and NBA. It's just this podcast just disappeared, and I couldn't edit it for shit. As I was going back to do a quick edit on the new pod, this finally uploaded and finally got to listen to it 4 weeks out. So I said, fuck it. Why not? It was fun listening to Jason and Aaron's predictions for the NHL playoffs and the NBA finals. It's a fun pod, and these guys give me a hard time for the Lakers going on in round one. You know, it is what it is, I guess. So, without further ado, check out the last pod from the beginning of May before you check out the next one. Source from the sofa. We're back, baby. Yo, what's up, everybody? We were recording Thursday night, 9 p.m. Pacific time. We haven't been on in more than a week, which is a rarity for us. But I was in the middle of a move starting last week, and it just seemed like it kept on going and going and going and going because I was moving throughout the weekend. It was complete utter bullshit. But still watched the game, still caught up with everything. The Warriors-Timberwolves game just ended not too long ago. It was a blowout, 117-93. Timberwolves even up the series, 1-1. They blew game one. And I say they blew it because Stephen Curry went out in the second quarter and they couldn't capitalize. Just no one was making shots. Finch was calling out Edwards, saying like all the effort was gone. I thought they played okay. They just couldn't make any shots. And today was just totally different. There was a slight scare when Edwards went down. I think it was in the third quarter, early in the third quarter.
Second quarter. Yeah.
He was down for a long time. Usually you don't see him down like that. So he must have been hurting, and maybe he was trying to see whether, it was more serious. I know on the TNT broadcast, they were saying he pulled a Paul Pierce. Pretty funny. All he was missing was a wheelchair. But it was an ass whooping, though. I thought the whole team played pretty well. DiVincenzo finally made some threes. He's been kind of cold in this playoff so far. If you don't remember, he was hot last year when he was with the New York Knicks. Randall had a bounce back game, so he's continuing another career playoff moment for himself. And Warriors just didn't have enough. They had to depend on playoff Jimmy. And that's what it is. Guys, reactions from this series so far, especially game two.
Oh, before we get started here, we haven't been on the air in 10 days. Aaron hasn't been on the pod in 2 weeks or so. My sources were telling me all this moving stuff was just, a kind of a distraction to gloss over the fact that the Lakers, who were so heralded by you to make a run to the NBA Finals, pretty well dismantled in the first round and gone, and Aaron hadn't been seen since. And then now we're just talking about game two of another series here just out of nowhere. I don't know. Oh, did he just leave?
He just disconnected.
Oh, he just leaves.
Hey, Romy, Jason, yeah, I agree. The sources were telling me the same. Basically they were asking me, hey, is Rome okay? Is he all right? Like, he hasn't been on since the Lakers disappeared in the playoffs. So yeah, as soon as you call him out on it, bam, he's automatically gone again.
I'm just saying, we recorded a pod a week ago, went through a lot of stuff. I kind of threw out there, like, you know, Aaron's not on. Aaron's never not on. Usually I'm the one who misses a show here and there. But, you know, the Lakers.
Wait, there
the Lakers,
he is. There he is.
He's back.
Video feed,
okay.
His video feed is in. Rome, are you there?
I'm sorry. My feet didn't like what you were saying, Jason.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're basically Aaron and I maybe have same or different sources, but, you know, we feel you're just really glossing over the fact that the Lakers are out and Aaron really hasn't had the forum to talk through what, you know, some of us were trying to tell you for a couple months here.
You know, Jason, I tried to get on the pod you mentioned last week, but like Rome, he did me like J.J. Redick, did not let me off the bench in the second half, so I was not able to get on the show. So that's a true story. I got blocked, kind of like you were getting blocked here for the first 45 minutes. I couldn't get on. I was, you know, he just wouldn't give me access to get on. I'm on tonight.
It's just such a Jason move to change topics right away. You're watching a lot of F1, man, and blocking the roadway. Let everyone else win the race.
You know, I'm just pass blocking for my guy Aaron here. You know, he had pole position. I'm just playing number two on the team, just making sure no one gets behind him. You know, tons of F1 to talk about. I mean, you're talking game two of, you know, whatever series right now. So much in the world of sports has happened, and you didn't let Aaron, you know, talk about the Lakers. I mean, just in the group text, but that's not, you know, a publicly thing here.
Well, we can get to it, but the most important thing right now is game two, because that's like fresh. And Timberwolves look really good.
I mean, you were talking about game two. We talk about game two Oilers Knights that's on right now. I mean, that's a heck of a game going on right here. You got 4-3 Oilers. Leon Draisaitl and them boys, man.
Yeah, I got that game on right now. Edmonton on the now power play. So look at that. They've already scored a couple here on the power play. But yeah, that's been a good game. Rome, I mean, if you want to touch base on game two, Minnesota basically dominated this one from start to finish, jumped out to what, a 13-0 lead. You mentioned Edwards getting hurt. That was a bit of a scare, but they actually increased the lead. Similar to what the Warriors did when Curry went down in game one, they actually increased the lead to end that half. I mean, the stats that I'm looking at, game one, the Warriors were plus 39 points, three-pointers. They hit 13 more three-pointers. Tonight, Minnesota reversed that trend. They were plus 21. So, I mean, if you're going to play the Warriors, you got to win the three-point battle or at least keep it close. I know we're jumping ahead, but if you go to game seven, Warriors against the Rockets, they were plus 36 at the three-point line. That was a difference in that series in game seven.
And that was all in the second half.
Yeah. Minnesota, I feel, has more offense than the Rockets. Maybe not as good at defensively, but they got better depth, more scores. So we'll see how this series plays out. We know Curry's going to be out at least games three and four.
Yeah.
Maybe possible return a week from tonight, game five, which would be in Minnesota. But yeah, I mean, the T-Wolves got a golden opportunity right now. Warriors are going to be searching for offense. Minnesota, I mean, still hasn't looked really good. I mean, I don't know if that's just indicative of how bad the Lakers really were. I mean, I know you kind of glossing over how that number one defense, when I told you they're playing Cupcake City USA in the NBA. But good win for the T-Wolves. Matchups in the West are 1-1. I know we'll probably touch up on the other matchups with the East teams being up 2-0, road teams winning all those games. So it's nice to see some home teams win some games since the road teams were, what, 6-0 to start the playoffs here in the second round.
Yeah, this is a really good second round for the – it's just a really good playoff so far for the NBA. So it's been really awesome, pretty tough. First of all, the Lakers didn't play that badly, man. Just the Timberwolves were the worst possible matchup. They're peaking at the right time. They were on fire in the last 20 games of the year. They've been playing like the number 2-3 seed, you know, during that span. And Anthony Edwards has taken it up to another level, a level that we've all been talking about. So I'm not really too upset about the Timberwolves moving on. It's just Ant-Man, you know, he had all the answers and he took them out. And Lakers were up in every game except for the fifth game. So they were up going to the fourth quarter. They just couldn't close it out. It was the same issue with the Dallas Mavericks, but that was a fun series nonetheless. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a good series. I mean, it was what I said Minnesota was going to win that series. I didn't think they'd take them out in five. Obviously, when they went up 3-1, I thought they were going to win game five, and they did. Outside of game one, which Minnesota kind of really dominated when they hit a record, 21, 22 three-pointers, whatever it was.
It was ridiculous.
I mean, Lakers and them are pretty much neck and neck games 3 and 4 till the final 4 or 5 minutes where you mentioned Rome. Ant-Man turned it on, took over. Randall was huge in that series as well. And then game 5, I don't know, we didn't touch on it because we weren't on the air, but what Rudy Gobert did to the Lakers was just a complete dismantle and a joke, I think, for, you know. I know, Rome, we talked about it, but, I mean, J.J. Redick deserves a lot of slack for that game 5 loss. I thought he did a pretty good job in his first year. I thought he did a good job really early in the series.
Yeah.
But game 4, no bench used in the second half. His team wore down. And then game 5, just they didn't look like they had the juice. They didn't have the energy. And, you know, not to come back and pit any bigs. Jackson Hayes, not play him in game 5 when you're just getting destroyed by Rudy Gobert with 24 rebounds, 27 points. That was inexcusable. I think J.J.'s got to look himself in the mirror. But overall, I think the Lakers know what they need. They need a big man. We talked about it. They tried to make the trade for Mark Williams at the trade deadline.
Yeah, they probably should have went through with it, honestly. That was their glaring hole.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what the physical says. I mean, we're hearing maybe he has a 2-3 year window, but considering that's all LeBron James maybe has left, do you risk it all for Dalton Kennett, who did not even play a minute, I think, in that playoff series? I think he's got a decent future, but JJ lost faith in him down the last month of the year and in that playoff series. And
I feel like he overthought it.
We talked about he brought in Maxi Kleber. I mean, that dude hasn't played since, 2024. He brought him in. Not a good look. I think JJ lost faith in the bench. They're going to have to do a revamp job there of that bench. A lot of guys are probably going to be mad and going to want out, privately, given the fact that, they'd been with the team, got the team there, and then you get overlooked by a guy who's was an afterthought of throwing in the trade for Luka.
Yeah, JJ finally looked like a rookie coach at the end. Probably overthought it, over-analyticed it, and kind of fucked himself at the end. But, by the way, man, let's talk about the other series real quick, because I think Timberwolves, Golden State, this will probably go 6 games in the Timberwolves' favor. They return to the finals, conference finals for the West. On the East, though, man, it's crazy shit happening. I did not see the Cavs dropping both to the Indiana Pacers. They were up with a minute and a half to go in both games. And then Indiana just comes back with a flurry all on Halliburton's shoulders. And then you got Boston Celtics on the ropes, man. They were up by 20 in both games. I couldn't believe that. They just kept on shooting threes and threes and threes, not going for any drives. They could have got some points, definitely. But they just really lived and died by the three and just let New York come back in both games and gave it away. And Tatum just didn't look like he had much in him. I know Instagram was going kind of crazy. Man, is this what Kerr was saving the Team USA from? So he's going to get a lot of slack. But no more face of the league talk from Tatum, man. That goes to Ant-Man. I think he's wrestling it away from everybody outside of Jokic.
Yeah, I mean, Boston going down 2-0, shocking. I mean, they had 20-point leads in both games in the second half. Porzingis getting, I guess, what are they calling it, an illness or something? Respiratory illness.
Where
he's having trouble breathing. He disappeared there in the first half of game 1, really didn't play much in game 2. Didn't really look like they needed him, but fourth quarter, I mean, New York's gone ice cold. I mean, Boston's gone ice cold, and Brunson has just really picked it up. Towns has gotten it going. I mean, Bridges had 0 points in the first 3 quarters, and then the fourth quarter, he goes off again, not only on the offensive end, but defensively.
Defense, man. Money.
And New York is 5-0 in these playoffs with I'm not sure what the margin of victory total is in those 5 games, but it can't be more than 12 or 14 points total that they've won those 5 games here on the road.
I find it interesting you saying Ant face of the league over Tatum. I'm not going to say it's a scorching hot take, but so far, Tatum won a title last year. Led a team, win the title. You got Ant's got a heck of a show, and he's getting all these Jordan comparisons last year that kind of went away as soon as he lost. Had a great regular season, but led a team to the sixth seed or whatever in the West. And I get what you're saying, Rome, but at the same time, like, I think before you say like Ant's face of the league, like what kind of winning is he going to be doing out here in the West?
We're looking at it right now, to be determined still, just like Jordan when he was already face of the league. That's how you do it. And Tatum, he had Brown win that championship last year. He was the MVP last year.
Was Brown's finals MVP? I mean, there's kind of the debate on whose team is it. Is it Brown or Tatum's? I believe it is Tatum.
Tatum's now, yeah.
Do I think Tatum's the face of the NBA?
No.
I would say no. Do I think Edwards is there yet? Probably not. I mean, the face of the NBA is really, in reality, probably still LeBron and Curry. I mean, they've gotten into the playoffs until they're really like knocked off. I mean, until there's like this young superstar like a Tatum and Edwards that can go on a run and win 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 5 here in the next few years. We'll see. But, you know, Curry's won 4, LeBron's won 4. They've each been in, 6 or more NBA finals. I think LeBron's been in, 10 NBA finals? Curry's been, maybe 6? So, yeah, those guys are still the face. I mean, Joker's obviously not the face of the league. He doesn't want to be the face of the league. And then
He's the best player in the league.
And don't count on SGA. I mean, he's quiet. Every time they do team, interviews, it's like a team, not an individual. That's what they are. But, we'll touch base on the Thunder here. But the Thunder, first game they lost against Denver, but they're going to win that series. I'm not thinking they're going to lose.
That was a really cool comeback in game 1 from Denver. That was pretty surprising. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, Denver basically, Aaron Gordon, I thought it was like watching NBA TV, a replay of that game 4 against the Clippers where he basically hits that alley-oop at the buzzer there to win that game. So Gordon's had a great playoff run.
That was crazy too. Yeah, he's been really good.
I mean, he doesn't make that shot. That game goes overtime. The Clippers probably win, and Denver's not even advancing here. But yeah, I mean, they're still, the face of the league is still, it's open. And you got, Cooper Flagg and a couple other good American players coming in next year that, depending on what kind of stardom they can bring, where they end up, it's debatable who can be the face of the league. But yeah, I mean, Boston right now is the team that probably still to beat in the East, even down 2-0, they're still favored by odds to win that series against New York. I still like Boston to win it, but they got to get their act together. They got to win game 3. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's a must. Crazy must. Yeah, let's talk about the Denver Thunder real quick. I guess, how surprised were you that Denver took away game 1 and then Thunder responded with another 40-point victory, second time in this playoffs? I think this is the first time it's ever happened in NBA history. I can't remember if that's right or not, but another blowout. But I imagine there'll be like a few more tough games like it was in game 1. You think this thing goes 6-7 games?
I think it probably goes 6. I don't know about 7. The Thunder, far and away, have been the best team in the West, probably best team in the league all season. But I don't think you're ever surprised in game 1 where, Jokic just kind of can take things over and really win when kind of he needs to win. And I think you'll see that once or twice in the series. I just don't know if they have the overall, depth that the Thunder do. And, Jokic versus SGA, man, it's a pretty enticing, top guy versus top guy matchup. But, Hartenstein and some of these other guys that the Thunder got there from a depth perspective, I mean, I think we're a couple weeks removed from the Nuggets just firing everybody and just letting Jokic just be the general manager, coach, and whatever on the floor here right now too. So, I mean, that experiment is still kind of out there, where I think the Thunder have had, they've had this whole dominant season, but proven in the NBA, there's always, I mean, you brought Jordan a little more, wasn't a winner until he was. It was those battles versus the Pistons that the Bulls lost and got past, and you saw LeBron's struggles with, certain teams, lost to the Spurs in the finals, the Cavaliers, when he joins the Heat, he gets over the hump with it. So there's those things about, hey, you got to lose a little bit in the playoffs to eventually win. The Celtics, great example as far as what Tatum and them were, and then they have the most boring dominant run to the NBA finals last year. So it'd be interesting where the Thunder, like, you know, not that they haven't been tested the seasons prior, but, you know, what's they're going to go up against, you know, a former champion right now in Jokic, depending on the result of the other series. Could they be facing, you know, the end of the Warriors dynasty potentially in the finals? Or, hey, you have both new kids going at it again. Somebody's going to have to step up from the West. But I still think goes six and probably the Thunder.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I don't see it going seven. I mean, you got to figure Jokic can get another win. You know, he dropped, what, I think 42-25, whatever it was. That, and, you know, only the fourth or fifth guy ever to do that in a playoff game. I mean, the playoff run he's been on, he's averaging basically a triple-double here in these playoffs. And he's going against really, I mean, Zubac is a really good defender. In fact, you know, based off the stats, was the best one-on-one defender against him in the NBA, and he averaged a triple-double in that series. He's coming back again here, basically put his team on the back game one with 42 points, won that game. I mean, Rome, I'm not surprised. You know, we've looked at all the teams with long layoffs coming into game one, Cavs, Thunder, T-Wolves. They all looked rusty, all kind of looked slow.
Oh, yeah.
Then game two, they looked really, really good, and they basically stepped it up. I mean, obviously the Cavs got beat, but they were up without, you know, three guys, main guys in their rotation out, and they were up 20 points in that game. That's just one of those things where they just ran out of gas. But, yeah, Denver probably going to win one more game in the series. The Thunder, I mean, like Jason said, they've been the most consistent team, best team in the NBA. Depth-wise, they got 8, 9, 10 guys deep. They got guys that can score. They got the two big guys. With Chet, I mean, Thunder reality, man. I mean, if Chet Holmgren makes maybe one or two of those free throws at the end, and then I don't know why they were doing fouling so early. I thought the coach probably has a lot to do with blame in that game. I mean, they were just fouling. The ball got inbound. They didn't even let him come across half court and burn 3 or 4 seconds here. And then, you know, Chet misses the 2 free throws. And then Gordon, as you mentioned, hits that 3-pointer in the corner. Like, a replay of, you know, his winner similar fashion against the Clippers. But, yeah, 6 games tops. I like the Thunder to win. Just too much depth. Nuggets really only got a 6, maybe 7-man rotation. It's tough to beat a team like the Thunder when you only got those guys, and they're not as good defensively as they were the year they won the championship. They had players, veterans that could come off the bench. Russell Westbrook's been playing out of his mind too.
Really good.
I mean, he's looked really, really good in these playoffs. So giving them that, I think that's really helped them out. And I think David Alderman's going to end up getting that job permanently. We'll see what happens, but he comes from a good, you know, coaching tree. His father was a really good NBA coach. Took the Blazers to the NBA Finals. He got beat by Jordan. He had the Kings in the mix there every year against the Lakers. Unfortunately, that was Shaq and Kobe. But, yeah, he's been an assistant for a while. I think eventually he's going to get that job. If not, he's going to get a look somewhere else for sure.
Sweet. Yeah, man, I'm really digging the NBA playoffs this year. It's pretty competitive, really tough. Old school and new school basketball, except for all those threes. I can't believe what the Boston Celtics are doing over there. Rudy Gay had a really funny post on Instagram. He's like, I'm convinced that no one knows how to play basketball inside the 3-point line now. And he just had a whole bunch of clips from the Boston game. It was pretty ugly in the second half.
Who was this that posted that?
Rudy Gay. Remember, he had a really nice mid-range game.
Rudy Gay was a good player. I mean, he was in the league for 15 years.
Yeah, pretty good. Any predictions or how do you guys think? I think you guys already kind of expanded on that, how the rest is going to go for the second round. Right? Do you guys like Indiana's chances of taking out the Cavs?
West or... At this point, them being up 0-2, I agree with Aaron. I think the Celtics on the other side more likely to bounce back. Both of those games have been tied to the Celtics, you know, arguably gave the games away that they could bounce back and win these. The Cavs, while they were impressive all season, got off to the hottest start in NBA. I think they had a ton of improvement in the roster as far as the development standpoint. the Pacers, I feel, have just been kind of doubted, and they, you know, they dismantled the Bucks fairly pretty easily. I know that, that the Cavaliers played a terrible Heat team, but the Pacers aren't bad, and up 2-0 right now. Now they get to go back home. That's, it's a pretty insurmountable thing for, I don't know how much better Cleveland really is compared to them right now. And Haliburton, you know, he can kind of take over the game here and really taking over the series. I would say I'd be much likely that the Pacers finish off after the jumps to the 0-2 lead, but the Knicks eventually fall.
Yeah, I mean, the Cavs being down 0-2. Basically, of all the players that they've got hurt, who knows if they're coming back or not. I mean, I know Garland's supposed to be back, maybe. Hunter's hurt. Mobley, Defensive Player of the Year, is down. They put up a fight. They should have won game two. Mitchell gave it all he had. What, he dropped like 45 in that game, but he ran out of gas. They didn't have a point guard really to relieve that pressure. And the Pacers are a really good team. They got a lot of depth too. I mean, they remind me a lot, the Pacers, of the Thunder in the West, with how many guys and bodies and wing players and big guys and just different lineups they can throw at you. It's going to be awfully tough for Cleveland, I think, to win 4 out of 5. With Boston, I'll agree with Jason. I think we said this. I mean, they're down 2-0, but they feel like they're still the better team, given the fact that they were up 20 points both games and really gave it away. It wasn't so much what New York did. It was just like bad shot selection or just really can't make a shot. I mean, Tatum, Brown, I saw open threes for them that if they even hit, you know, 2 out of 7 of those shots and regularly would hit 50%, they win.
So Brown's not having
a good
playoff.
New York's not played
so
well
far
at home in these playoffs. I mean, we talked about it. They're 5-0 on the road, but they've not been good at home. The Pistons won 2 out of 3 there. And Rome, we talked about it before, you know, 2 weeks ago. Detroit gave away that game one where they were up like 10 points, and New York went on again another 20-0 run. So the Knicks have been going on some famous 20-0 runs here in this fourth quarter. We'll see if that keeps going. Like I said, Boston's still favored to win the series, even down 2-0 on most betting sites.
That's,
I think,
crazy.
They came in like almost like 30-1 to win the series to begin with. So the fact that they're down in Boston, we didn't even mention it, but you know, Boston's come back down 3-0-4 against a Miami Heat team that I think is better than this Knicks team and forced a game 7. And this is a better Boston team than that team there. So we'll see what happens. But I'll take Boston to win that series. I got the Cavs, and then I'll go Thunder and T-Wolves right now. I just, hard to imagine Golden State winning without Curry.
Yeah, no. Kind of agree, man. I'm kind of, Indiana's like sneaky good. The Cavs, in my opinion, they were probably like the second best team in the NBA behind the Thunder. They're really solid, but those injuries just might be a little bit too much because they really do go pretty deep. They have a pretty deep rotation there, but Garland's looking like the missing piece for that. Yeah, man, really liking the playoffs. Can't wait for the rest of the second round to kind of develop. It's unfortunate that on my only day off, the only time I had some time to watch some video, there's only one game on. So I'm going to, like, you know, catch pieces here and there for the rest of the time. All right.
Well, you are off Saturday, and are you going to the Chase Center? Are you going to that game?
Have working you all weekend. Working all weekend, unless it's a day game.
Okay. I don't think there's going to be day NBA playoff game, but yeah.
They used to. A little Sunday game. They used to always put the Lakers on a 12 o'clock Sunday playoff game.
Yeah, I think for first round they do, but now that there's only, what, one or two games. Yeah, but that's, well, I don't think we have a Sunday game 7 yet, so maybe later that'll be a 1:30 or 2:30 start or something.
Yeah.
Down the window. We want these Sunday starts to be late, but because we got F1, but the next F1s are 6 a.m. anyway, so you know what? Go ahead and start them at noon. We're all good. I like that Miami Grand Prix time. That was a good start. It was raining here, so it felt great. It felt great.
It was a good Sunday. It was a good racing Sunday overall. I mean, if you're up for all the gearheads out there, we had IndyCar racing out at Barber Motorsport Park at 10:30. Then you had Formula One and NASCAR on at the same time at noon and 1. So, man, it was that's a killer Sunday lineup right there.
That's a lot of exhaust right there. I mean,
tons of exhaust.
A lot of dirty air, as they say in F1. A lot of dirty air.
I personally did not like the time of the Sunday Miami Grand Prix. I was ready to watch in the morning, and then I had shit to do. And I didn't like watching piece here and there, and then watching highlights afterwards.
Man, it was down here. It was the type of, you know, lazy Sunday where we had the rain in Southern California, so it was a perfect way to, you know, kind of have a whole afternoon of racing. But it's okay. As Aaron said, Rome, we're gonna get the European kind of triple header here coming up, where we got Italy, Monaco, and Spain. You know, so we'll get some nice early starts in Italy and in Monaco and in Spain. All 6 a.m. start times out here in the West.
I'll be up, man. Mark it down. I will be up. And I don't say that often on a Sunday at 6 a.m. I'm not even up that early for football.
No, yeah, you never watch those London games. Well, speaking of which, since we're talking about racing, what are you guys' thoughts on the Miami Grand Prix, of how that whole thing went down? A lot of people saying that's the best race of the year, pretty exciting, lots of movement, lots of, you know, just lots of things happening.
Best race of the year. I don't know. I think back to Bahrain, you know, had the different pit strategies and that was pretty good. First race in Australia was pretty good just because of the rain as well. But yeah, I would say it was a pretty good race. McLaren head and shoulders above. I mean, they might have started to lap the field there at a certain point. I think it was unfortunate for Lando again on lap one, really getting pushed off the track, kind of a, I don't know, 50-50 call between him and Verstappen, where Verstappen basically pushed him off the track. And I think it was like a turn two or three after they kind of went into turn one, kind of aggressive. And then Piastri basically just took it from there. So, tough race for Lando, I think, because now you're just looking at Piastri's just going to methodically, you know, have the better car. And even when Lando out qualifies him, you know, a small mistake or, you know, figure out a way to get past Max, but Piastri made an incredible pass around Verstappen to take the lead from the beginning point. So I don't know, man. I mean, you kept calling me out, Rome, for being too down on Lando, but like, you know, continually giving away points to his teammate like this. I think in the post race, he looked kind of just like overwhelmed and kind of frustrated, I guess would be a better terms of where things are at, because this should have been his race win. I don't know if he was trying to get too aggressive just to take over Max in the beginning, but they had the better car. And I don't know if that pass was really necessary. You know, he could have just snuck up and found a better time to pass it, because it was super costly for him to go from first or tie for first to fifth. And then, you know, it was really just making it up from there. So I think overall it was a good race for most teams. Williams, I think, was like kind of, I don't say the shock, but like they qualified great. They were up there. They outperformed the Ferraris, which was crazy to see. And, you know, Aaron and I both have been saying like, this is the number five team. They're the king of the mid-tier teams right now. And they got a really good car. I think of the flip side, Ferrari is a freaking disaster right now. You know, this was the most vocal I think Lewis Hamilton had been on the radio the entire weekend.
It was entertainment on the radio. I think when we talk about the race in general, between the radio and the race, this was the most entertaining for sure, Jason.
Oh, 100% was, because I don't know what the hell Ferrari was doing. I got Lewis's like point. Like, they ran probably the right tire strategy to start. Lewis was back, you know, he was in I think it started 12th. So they put him on the hards to start the race, because hey, we're gonna get more life out of this run. And then if something happens, we're in position with the faster tire to end the race if we can get ahead on the longer run. And so yeah, they happen to luck out with a safety car at a certain point. They're on the hard tire. You know, Lewis is able to get up a few places right behind Leclerc. And now Lewis has got the medium, Leclerc's got the hard, Lewis has got the faster tire. And Ferrari was just diddling around for several laps when Lewis is probably the faster car, just burning through, you know, a tire that's going to degrade a little bit faster and probably lost some speed, and really gave up a chance from a team perspective to catch up to Kimi Antonelli, just to get overall team points. And then by the time they made the freaking decision, 3-4 laps later, you know, Lewis couldn't get away, degraded a little bit of the tire. Then Charles like, okay, you're going to give the pass back. They finally gave it back. But yeah, the radio communication was the best when they told Lewis to get the place back to Leclerc, and then the engineer goes, Sainz is 1.7 behind, and Lewis just says, do you want me to give him pass too? And I was just dying at that one. So
between that line and have a cup of tea, guys, I mean, that shit was hilarious, dude. Like, Hamilton was not fucking around. He was pissed. He was mad.
He was pissed. I think there's a lot of conversation. I mean, you know, Rome gives me crap. You know, Lewis Hamilton's my guy, greatest of all time, 7-time world champion. You know, went to Ferrari. Ferrari's the dream for majority of racing drivers. That's where you want to go. That's the Yankees. That's the brand. It's everything Formula One is about, driving for Ferrari. So everyone talks about the dream for him. So that's where he wanted to end his career. And last year, this is a team that was competing for the Constructors' Championship in the final race of the season versus McLaren. So they should have had a good car. And this car has just been not great all year. The China race was the interesting portion to me. I don't know what they've done to the car since China. But if you remember, Lewis wins the sprint in China. Okay, cool. Yo, hey, we're bouncing back from this after you kind of the bad showing in Australia. Then they get the double disqualification and two different reasons, but really went to the kind of the lowness of the car, whether it was, you know, the degradation of the floorboards and things like that. And I don't know if the adjustment they made because the car is too low has really, you know, scared them off from getting disqualified again. And now just made the car just kind of like uncompetitive compared to the McLaren and even the Mercedes, because it just has no pace whatsoever, which is kind of shocking because it should. So, yeah. Rome, you didn't see it. You said this was your two being around, right? Too many errands going on a Sunday at 1 o'clock?
No, I was in and out. I had it on the phone, but also, yeah, I was just watching it or listening to it rather while I was packing up stuff. So, watched highlights though. Highlights are not the same though for F1. It just doesn't do it.
Yeah,
justice.
I mean, it was like Jason mentioned.
What, yeah. The phone?
It's just the highlights.
Is it watching
F1
on the phone?
Yeah.
No, I mean, you got to be kind of in it where things are going, because you could sum it up to, okay, there was these two passes and that really was the race. But there was some strategy mixed in, some, you know, safety cautions here and there. The radio calls, as Aaron's talking about, was the comedy of it. And then, there was a lot of different things at play in that race.
Yeah, I mean, the radio calls were great from Ferrari, their team. Even, you know, guys trying to get guys set up for penalties, like, hey, he didn't let up. He didn't let up, you know, Verstappen on Mercedes team. Hey, they didn't let up. They didn't let up on Russell. So, obviously, he did not lose that spot. But, I thought the race, the first half was really entertaining. Obviously, that's when Piastri passed and Lando passed Verstappen. He had kind of a rough race. Mercedes, you know, they've been running pretty well. Antonelli, he won the sprint race, right, I believe. And he was looking pretty good early. But, yeah, Ferrari, like, a mess. I mean, Williams did really good. Two top, what did they get, fifth and ninth, I think, in this race is what they finished. So that was good for Williams. That was good for them. Yeah.
Yep.
And then you got your boy, Rome's guy, Doohan. He's now been removed or whatever. He's out.
Yeah, that was breaking news today. Yeah, Jack Doohan and the team principal of Alpine at the same time, too, was kind of resigned. So a little bit of a power struggle, I think, over at Alpine. So Doohan goes out. They bring in Kyle Pinto, who was kind of following in for last year for Williams, as he kind of goes. So, you know, that was kind of the threat all year, was doing it, actually, you know, get a chance beyond, you know, half the season, but he didn't even make half the season, and Kyle Pinto is going to go in. So Kyle Pinto had a ton of hype last year with Williams when he took over halfway through the season, you know, had a good finish here and there, but then wasn't finishing races towards the end of the year. So, but I think Alpine, I don't know, there's an interesting behind the scenes working at Alpine right now. So I think that'll be an interesting Drive to Survive moment as we go into the Netflix special next year.
Yeah. So we'll see how that pans out for them, but they've been struggling. I think Jack Doohan, he didn't even finish that race because his tire blew out there when he collided with Sonoda, I believe so. So, yeah.
I think it was Lawson.
I believe, yeah,
I think it was Lawson. And Lawson.
Lawson, that guy's crazy, man. He hits everybody, dude.
Yeah. There's another interesting team radio call where he's blaming Doohan after Lawson just sends it into the corner and puts his car in between two cars. There's no place in the turn. He's like, this freaking Alpine. What's he doing? It's like he was inside the entire time. You overdrove the first corner and just friggin' got up on him. But yeah, Lawson, man, that I don't know if anyone, I mean, Formula One drivers are pretty confident. I think you gotta be, but the way that guy has kind of just had a level of, like, you know, confidence or arrogance, where you want to put it, like last year when he got into the RB, then into like his whole offseason going into Red Bull, and he has just been, man, it's been super disappointing, because I don't think he's had a really successful race so far from Lawson's perspective. And you're looking at drivers that, you know, quick fall from grace. I mean, this guy could be out of Formula One by, you know, next year.
If not sooner, man. If not sooner, yeah.
Crazy. Did you guys want to talk about hockey playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, Lil going into hockey right now. I mean, we were talking about right now you got the Knights and the Oilers just going to overtime, I think, Aaron, if you're watching the game live right now, 4-4, I think that's a heck of a series. Oilers, man, I've had a feeling about them this whole playoffs. The Jets, that was an interesting series, too, for the Jets and Blues.
You see Game 7?
Saw Game 7, man, I was texting with a friend on this, you know, because really goaltending, as you kind of get into these Stanley Cup playoffs, like history tells you, like you get the hot goaltender during the playoffs. Hey, you can steal a series, take your way, you know, they can steal the Stanley Cup for us. That's what you need. And Connor Hellebuck just has had one of the best seasons and really put the Jets into that number one overall seed in the West. And, you know, whatever reason with St. Louis did not just wasn't as crisp. St. Louis had a heck of a goalie, too. I mean, I think both of these goalies, I'm pretty sure, played for Canada and the U.S. in the Four Nations Cup. So, I mean, it was a goalie showdown. But the Game 7 was incredible. I think there were several moments where St. Louis could have won that game. There's nothing beats a Game 7 overtime NHL playoffs just waiting for, like, you know, waiting for a puck to go this way and that way. It was a heck of a deflection there to end that game. I mean, just an impossible stop, basically. But as good as Rome is touting the NBA playoffs, the NHL, I think they're always better. And I think this year they've been really great, too.
Yeah, I mean, the NHL playoffs have been good. I mean, you had that Game 7. I mean, Winnipeg with the tying goal of, what, like 1.7 seconds, whatever it was, man. Just crazy, crazy. I didn't think there was any chance they were going to come back and win. They do. And now you got, like you mentioned, you got Golden Knights, Edmonton. I mean, Edmonton was dead against the Kings. I mean, the Kings should have swept them. I'll be honest. I watched a lot of those games. The Kings dominated Games 1 and 2. We're up in Game 3, gave that one away, and then in Game 4, like, they challenged a stupid penalty that led to another delayed penalty, just some stupid stuff they did, and cost themselves that, and then Edmonton got hot and beat them for, what, the fourth straight year in Round 1. So that's tough if you're a Kings fan. Then they go and fire their GM. I think Edmonton's going to end up beating the Vegas Knights in the series. I actually like the Dallas Stars to beat Winnipeg. I know they're already up 1-0 there. And I think the Dallas Stars are going to come out of the West. I think they're going to be the team that comes out of the West and represents. And then in the East, Capitals got even. And I'm going to take Carolina. I think so. I think it's going to be Carolina-Dallas when it's all said and done in the final.
Interesting. Yeah, for me in the West, I'm to me, whoever wins the Vegas Oilers series is coming out of the West. I think both of those teams, I think, have some favorable matchups. And I agree with you, probably Dallas getting past the Jets. I expected more from the Jets, to be honest with you. But, you know, how tight that series with the Blues, how they looked in Game 1 versus Dallas, not real chance. But I really think Edmonton is on a mission this year, losing the Cup final last year. I think Leon Draisaitl, you know, has something to prove after his terrible performance in the NHL in finals last year. McDavid, best player in the world, continues to go there. Jack Eichel, no slouch for the Golden Knights. I think he's, you know, he's been incredible really in this game tonight too. It was great too. Out of the East, I'll flip it. I think the Capitals beat the Carolina, but I mean, I think that can go either way. Really interesting. I think Toronto being up 2-0 on the Panthers. The Panthers were playing the old NHL salary cap game, which is one of my favorites, where you just stash dudes on injured reserve and they don't go against the cap. And then in the playoffs, it doesn't matter and you activate everybody. So, you know, they had Tkachuk and some other people sit out the rest of the regular season at the trade deadline, able to get Marchand from the Bruins and a bunch of other high-priced people, and now they activate everyone. So that's the old Tampa Bay Lightning formula that when they were running some winning some Stanley Cups, but the Panthers dismantled the Lightning in round one. But man, I know it's not they're not under the radar because Toronto is, you know, probably Canada's team, and you talk about, you know, who's gonna win the Stanley Cup, like, hey, like, Canada really probably wants Toronto, but you look in the final eight right now, I could be like prisoner of the moment right now. Like, Canada's got three legit teams that potentially could win the cup. And we talked about this, I think, in the past. Like, Canada hasn't won a Stanley Cup since 93 out of any of the things. So, and the Maple Leafs in the 40s. So they're super hungry in Toronto, as this is supposed to be kind of that. I mean, they're almost kind of like the Boston Red Sox, you know, pre all these World Series, of just like, hey, this is supposed to be like this dynastic team that everybody loves in Canada, but just hasn't been able to do it. And, you know, this team's up 2-0. Austin Matthews, they got some really good players in the team that they're taking it to the defending Stanley Cup champions. That'll be an inch. They're already up 2-0. It's hard to see Toronto not getting it to the Stanley Cup finals right now. And a Toronto Edmonton would do terrible ratings in the U.S., but man, it might get 100% viewer watch in Canada.
I actually like that matchup. I would watch it.
I mean, yeah, Toronto's played well. I think Florida's going back home, see if they can make it a series. I think it'll be key there. I mean, Toronto's looked really good. Florida, they blew them out with game one. Florida kind of looked better in game two. I agree. Toronto's dangerous. They are dangerous right now. They're playing good. They're confident. Florida's the defending champs. We'll see if they can bounce back. Toronto makes a lot of sense. I think Toronto's going to end up winning that series, but Florida, I wouldn't be surprised if Florida wins games 3 and 4 to get that thing back to 2-2.
All right. I'm pretty much burnt out, guys. Any last words you guys want to say, or anything else you guys want to cover?
Think we're good. We'll kick the MLB preview show another week, I see. So we'll get to it at some point this season.
does anybody even want the MLB preview show? I mean,
I don't think so anymore.
I don't know. I think the biggest baseball headlines today was, you know, we have a new Pope, the first American Pope. From the great city of Chicago. Huh. Also, White Sox fan. White Sox fan. Was at the 2005 World Series and the White Sox beat the Astros. But a little controversy that the Cubs put out there that he's a Cubs fan. But we got visual proof from the Chicago Sun-Times of our new Pope was at the is a White Sox fan, confirmed by his brothers in the suburbs of Chicago. In some local news out there too, so I think that was the biggest baseball story of the day that we have a Pope that is a White Sox fan.
Yeah, I did see that. So the Cubs tried to take credit saying he was, but no, he is a White Sox fan. And then on hockey, go back to that. The Ducks did hire a new coach, Blackhawks coach there, Jason. You think that's a good hire for them?
Which ex Blackhawks coach? I'm going to be honest, I missed this.
It just happened just a few hours ago.
Oh, Joe Quenneville.
Yeah, Quenneville, yeah.
Joe Quenneville. Okay. I mean, man, Quenneville, man, he was a great coach. He should be with the Panthers right now, to be honest with you. He got dismissed because of kind of the investigation and some of the stuff that went on within the Blackhawks organization. I mean, it was kind of back from 2010 and just kind of
kind of weird,
you know, the way that some of that situation was handled. But man, Yeah, it was considered a different organization and everything. He ran his course in Chicago after, you know, honestly, it wasn't even really his fault. It was just bad, bad player management for the Blackhawks at the end of their dynasty. I mean, Joe Quenneville, I think he's the second winningest coach of all time. I mean, he's top three. Yeah, so he's top three. I think he gets another shot down the road from us. You know, Duck's got a young core. You know, he's great with kind of these young teams. He took the Blackhawks with the Kane. Yeah, so I think that's a good hire for them.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, this so might be our
OT has kicked off in Vegas. All right. Underway.
This might be our quickest pod.
Rome, I think the main thing is the audience just wanted to know you were okay with the Lakers being dismantled as quickly as they were. Because as you jumped off the air, me and Jason were talking, and you know, a lot of sources, a lot of fans were reaching out to us. Hey, where's
dismantle.
Rome? Is he okay? Is he on suicide watch? And we let him know, hey, no, he's good. Don't worry about it. He's hanging with his daughter. He's moving, you know, trying to get a breath of fresh air because he can't stand the Warriors' success and the Lakers' not success. So he got to get out of that San Francisco.
You're crazy, man. No, the only thing about the Lakers being out in the first round is they were one of the better teams. So now you could possibly have a Warriors team moving on further, but hopefully the Timberwolves could take care of them too, and I'll be really happy. Ant-Man, face of the NBA. Soak it up, guys.